And over the next 2 weeks before Pentecost Sunday on June 9th, I encourage you to do something that maybe for some of you is a normal part of your life and it's not a very big deal. And maybe for others it is a big thing. Maybe, and that is to get into the Word of God. We have 14 days before Pentecost Sunday, two Sundays from now. And I'm going to encourage every person that you would to do your best to read two chapters of Acts every week. Every day for the next 14 days. Which means as we head into Pentecost Sunday, we would have as a church read through the book of Acts because there's 28 chapters. And I'm going to encourage you not only to be a bystander or to come on a Sunday morning or maybe a midweek or to a discipleship or a life group moment, but to get into the Word of God yourself. There's something that happens in us when we get in the Word of God. The Word of God is life-giving. It's life-breathing. And it's not something that's just for Sunday morning, but it's for you every single day. The other day I was mowing my grass, and I've been going through Acts in various ways and various times, and I was mowing my grass, and I listened through the entirety of the book of Acts just as I was mowing. That meant I had a lot of grass in my yard because it took me a long time, but I mowed it like 3, 4, 5, 6 times, got it down. It looks good now. What are opportunities for you to get the Word of God in your heart? You don't have to sit on a mower for 2 hours and listen, but 10 minutes a day. We actually found this very interesting stat that last week, Brother DeBose, who got to speak here on Sunday morning, got to share with us. And when people spend 10 minutes a day, 4 times a week in the Bible, their life literally changes. This isn't from a Christian perspective only. This is what the studies have found, that people who spend 10 minutes a day in the Bible, 4 days a week. And he's like, why 10 minutes? Why 4 days a week? No clue. But that's just this threshold that when you get to that point, all of a sudden we're able to carry out what the Word would say. We're able to apply it to our life. All of a sudden we become witnesses for the things of God. And it's not really a surprise if you've been in your Word, because when you get in your Word, you realize what it does, the life-giving character that we can glean and we pull out of it. And that doesn't mean that we're never going to struggle, you're never going to mess up again. But I don't know about anybody else in the room, but I think all of us, we need the best chance we can get, right? We need the best chance we can get to do the right things, to say the right things, to be the people that God has called us to be. And what a shock that being in the Word, that's how we do it. That's how we do it. That's how we live as God has called us to live. So if anybody in the room, you need a Bible, we can help you out with that. It is well worth it. On your phone, you can go to the Bible app and get it. If you don't read very well or you don't like to read, you can listen to the Bible. It is a great thing. You can do that, put it in your car on the way to work when you're sitting in traffic and normally you'd be upset. Instead, listen to the Bible and let the life-giving words of the Bible become life to you instead of the frustration that life would get in other ways. The Word of God is so important, and that's why I took 5 minutes to start this message to talk about it. So once again, my challenge, 2 chapters a day, listen to it, read it, get into it, study it, whatever that is for you, 2 chapters a day for the next 14 days. And I believe that for maybe some, that you're not in the active pattern of reading the Word, that after 14 days, you might just decide, you know what, I'm going to keep this up. I'm going to move to the next book, or I'm going to find whatever it is. I'm going to start in Matthew and go through the Gospels or wherever it would be. I believe that it will change our lives. But we're going to jump in this morning to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 11. And we're going to begin by reading it. It says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Lord, this morning I pray that as we look into your word, as we talk about empowering, being empowered for action, Lord, I pray that you would speak your truth to each one of us. Lord, give us a love for your word, a love to not do life on our own, but a love to walk in the empowerment of the Spirit, but not for ourselves, but so that we can take your word to our world, so we can act upon who you are and what you've done. We thank you, we praise you, and we lift you up, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. And amen. As we begin, as we look at this, I find it's very important to realize that Luke, the third gospel, and Acts, they're kind of, they're just almost like a volume, you could say. Volume one, or part one, and part two. Traditionally, the author you would think of as being Luke. There's no way to know for sure that it is Luke that wrote this, but for our case today, we're just going to call him Luke. That way we can kind of have a basis to work on. Probably most people would kind of lean that direction. And we see that right in verse 1 that he's writing to Theophilus so that he may have certainty concerning the things that he has been taught. There's something that's special about that word, Theophilus. In Greek, it means lover or friend of God. And when I read Acts, right from the very first sentence, I think there's something that happens when we read the word and we read Acts and we apply it to our life, not as someone who's skeptical or someone who isn't really sure, or not as someone who, just is questioning everything, but instead, which I want to always study and grow and mature and learn, but I want to do it from the heart of being a lover or friend of God. I want to do it from the heart of being able to write as this would be written to Theophilus, or a lover, a friend of God. It changes how we read. It changes how we experience. I believe when we come on a Sunday morning and we come not as someone who just sits there or might raise our hand or we might come to an altar, but we come as a friend, a lover of God. We come as someone that just wants to know more of who he is. Then church on Sunday morning isn't just something we have to do, but it is the most special, the most exciting part of your week. And that's who Theophilus, that's what this book is written to, Luke and Acts. We see that the very end of Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1, they mirror each other in many ways. In Luke 24, 46 through 49, it says, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power." There's something about this emphasis that Luke wants to be sure that they do not miss. So the end of Luke, the beginning of Acts, is saying, don't miss it. Stay in Jerusalem. I'm sending the promise of the Father. When I think about the Gospels, when I think about the Word of God, and I think about the kingdom of God that we all get to live in, there's such a special thing about being in his presence, about being able to sit where he has us to be and experience him. But I would almost say that he's saying it's not just enough to know. It's not just enough to say, oh, I love the kingdom. It's not just enough to say this is fun right where I am. But he all of a sudden says, I'm going to go and there's going to be another. There's a promise that I am sending to you. There's a moment when as this church we need to be people that go from kingdom people to say, I'm not just going to be about the kingdom right here in my own world or my own way or my own understanding. But I'm going to look for the promise that God wants to pour into me. I'm going to look for the promise that he wants to speak and how he wants to move in my life. There's something special about experiencing God. In verse 3, it says he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. And I love that he didn't just make people say, it's okay, I understand, I believe, but he showed himself to the people, to Mary Magdalene and the women, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to 500. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 7 says, he even appeared to them and asked for something to eat. He asked for even the normal things of life. He appeared to many. And I believe that every single time when I think about if I want to be a lover of God, I want to be a friend of God, it's not just something that I have to do on my own strength. But God, I believe he's knocking every moment of our lives. He's speaking. He's saying, I'm going to appear to you. I'm going to show up in your life. I'm going to show up in your situation. I'm going to show up right where you are. Maybe in the struggle of where you are in your life or in parenting or your home or your family or loved ones that they don't know Jesus yet. I believe he's going to show up. And I pray that on a Sunday morning when we get to worship together and Pastor Matt and the team, I hope that that's one of those moments where he shows up in a special way, where he shows up in a powerful and a mighty way and you get to experience him. Because it takes faith to walk with God. But in that faith, he shows up, and all of a sudden you realize it doesn't take that much faith. He doesn't take that much faith because he begins to reveal himself. I guarantee you, May, it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe Jesus, does it? Because you experience him, you walk in him, you know him, because he has shown himself. He's revealed himself to you, and he wants to do that for each one in the room today. And if you say, man, I'm struggling with that. I don't know how to experience him. I don't know how to walk in him. I think that as we go on, verse 4 kind of lays it out. It says, wait for the promise. And there's moments in our lives when we have to just wait on the Spirit of God. We've got to wait and say, Lord, I'm not going anywhere until you show yourself. I'm not going to move on from where you have me here today. I'm not going to move on from this moment in my life until the promise that you've spoken of has been revealed in my life. And I believe that there are so many truths of the word that no matter what your situation or what your problem is, you can go to the word of God and say, the promise, it's for you. The promise, it's for you right now. It's for you, and he is going to move. In this specific case, talking about the promise of the Father. Luke, it just emphasizes the importance of this empowerment from on high. It's important in Luke. It's important in Acts. It's not only something that is for these apostles, though. Because in Acts 2:38, it goes on and it says that it's for all. It's for all, including those who are afar off. Acts is all about the word of God going from the Israelites, from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. God wants to move. That promise is for you. And you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I believe Jesus, the others, the disciples, they experienced his prophetic ministry. They experienced the power of God firsthand right in front of them. And all of a sudden he's saying, what I experienced, what I walked in, how I moved, what was in my life, I pour to you, if you'll just wait, if you'll just believe, if you'll go from kingdom and say, the promise is for me, the promise is for me, and I am not going to miss it. It's for you. It's for every single one of us. And empowerment is vital to take kingdom living to the next level. And if there's an area in your life where you're struggling, if there's an area in a life where you just can't feel like you can get over the hump, maybe it's real practical, like finances. And you say, I just can't get to a place where I can just live and I can give, maybe even to bless other people, or maybe it's relationships, or maybe it's people in your life or your job or whatever it is. I believe that the only thing we can do is wait for the promise, wait for the empowerment of his Spirit to help us grow, to make the decisions to say, God, I'm going to start heading in the direction you've called me to go. And Lord, I need you to empower me, fill me with your Spirit to live daily on mission for you. Now, the disciples in verse 6 and 7, they ask a question that today it would be easy to say, well, I think they kind of missed it. But they say, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And I think it's a reminder that in our life, sometimes we want things in our moment, in our way, in the way that we understand, and the way that we can experience. We're like, I've seen it before. I know what I expected to happen. So therefore, is it going to happen that way this moment? Is it going to happen how I think it should happen? And Jesus, whether it be in this case or in our lives, I think sometimes, like, have a little patience. It might not happen even how we think. When we're empowered by the Lord, he might give us a new understanding of his will or his promise even. He might give us a new revelation of who he is. God, he wants to show himself. He wants to move. He wants to be glorified in us. But we have to submit ourselves to who he is and how he would speak and how he would direct our lives. Because he says, it's not time for you to know the seasons. But verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's this emphatic word, the promise of power, once again, that came from Luke and now is in Acts. This power throughout the Bible, I think we've seen, you can see it revealed in many different places. Maybe in the Old Testament, you could think of Samson, when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he could pretty much do anything that he wanted to do with his strength and his power, right? There was an amazing thing for Noah to subdue the earth, to build an ark, to follow God and to be all that God had made him to be. Something about Micah standing against the false prophets. I believe that there was a power that God gave Micah. You know, over and over again, we can look throughout the word. But here we see that the power is focused on being witnesses to the ends of the earth. Not surprisingly, all through the New Testament, through when Jesus was there, signs and wonders, healings and miracles, people that were held and oppressed by the demonic being set free, that these things were a sign of what God was doing, of being witnesses, of making a difference, not to be empowered so that we can come into our little kingdom and have this great promise of God and say, I've got it, I've experienced it, but to then to go and to make disciples of all people. Verse 8 goes on and says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this word witness or testimony in the New Testament is used 167 times. I think there was something important about this witness of who we are called to be, of who they were called to be. Jesus was speaking. He's speaking to us today. Are we going to move from just being in a place of kingdom where we feel like we're safe and secure to a place where we say, I'm going to step into the promise of his spirit. I'm going to step into what he has for me. But I'm not also going to stay in that promise. I'm going to move and say, what's the mission? What's the mission that I'm supposed to have for my life? And for each one of us, we can know that we're called to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We're called to be witnesses right here in Dublin. We're called to be witnesses over at the Hilltop and Revive Church and to lift them up and to pray to the greater United States. And we're called to be witnesses to the ends of the world. That is what we're called to be. It's our goal. It's our desire. It's everything. It needs to be everything to us is to say, Lord, I want to live with the promise that sends me to the mission, that gives me the mission to know what to do and how to make it happen. The language attributed here to Jesus in this verse stems from what scholars often call the second Isaiah. An emphasis on Isaiah for them would not have been surprising. They would have probably understood and picked up because it would have been the norm of their day. They would have understood that there was an allusion to the end or to something that was going to happen in the future and Israel's restoration. But when Isaiah was speaking, it was talking about all of Israel coming back inside, almost coming back to Jerusalem, coming back to be together from all over the world. And here, all of a sudden, there's a changing on a second thing, as Jesus would say. It's no longer about how many Christians can we get to come together into a house? How many Christians can we get to come to be a part of the family here? But how many people can we get to come that then can be sent out, can be sent to be witnesses? How many people can we see and experience and raise up to then go and make disciples of all nations? Something that's important to Pastor Dave, to myself, and to Radiant Life Church is how much, we'll just go with a straight financial, how much money can we send to missionaries so missionaries all around the world can win people to Jesus? How can we jump into what God is doing? And from Isaiah, to come home, to come in, to come back to the promise, here to Acts, where it's now it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Paul, he is our model, I think you could say, in Acts. And then throughout the New Testament, Peter, he jumps on board. But I find it interesting that there's a struggle that takes place when we're all of a sudden asked to go. In fact, the disciples, they didn't just hop up when they received the Holy Spirit and head out to Jerusalem and Samaria, to the othermost parts of the earth. They stayed in Jerusalem for a long, long time. It's possible that they may have, I don't know, I wasn't there, I wasn't getting exactly what Jesus was saying, but it's possible that a bunch of the disciples kind of missed a little bit of the purpose of the empowerment from God. And I believe in our day, it's so easy to experience him and to know him and to say, I love moments when I get to just soak in the presence of God. I love moments when I just get to bask in what the word would say and how it changes my life. But if we just stay in that moment and stay saying, I know the mission, I've got the mission, I've got the power, I've experienced this great thing that God wants to do, and we never turn it to get us out, to get us out of the four walls or out of the house, walls of our house, then we completely miss what God is doing. We don't turn from what Isaiah said in coming in to then what God does on the cross and then through the Holy Spirit to being sent to make disciples of all nations. When I think of it, it's so just right in our world. What is soccer or what is cheerleading or whatever happens at school? Are those things that we do that is what our life is about? Are those things a part of our mission, the part of our way that we get to be around people and we get to share the gospel? Am I empowered so that my kids can go play soccer and that we can share Jesus with the other people, have people over to our home? Am I empowered so that I can make a difference? Am I empowered so I can come to church on Sunday and then just kind of lay under the radar the rest of the week? Because God doesn't empower us to just be under the radar. God empowers us to go and to act on mission. Kingdom living means being on mission. There's no other way to look at it. We must be disciples that go and make disciples, that go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the end of the earth. Mission must lead us to action. And verse 9 says he was lifted up and a cloud took them out of their sight. Now, if you can just imagine this morning, like just imagine being there in that moment, how crazy, how cool would that be? Jesus, he's already died. He's already come back to life. You're like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Maybe you're starting to realize, you know, he's spoken. He's clarified what he spoke in Luke, what he spoke in the Gospels. He clarified the Old Testament. All of a sudden, they're to this moment. And then a cloud comes, and Jesus goes up into the sky. And I mean, if you were me, I would have been there like, what? This is the most amazing thing. It would have been one of those things where you don't want to leave, like where you just sit there and you're in awe of the moment, where you just sit and you gaze up into the sky. A really strong word that Luke uses here, to gaze into the sky. And then two men stood by them in white robes, and they say, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Now, I find that to be one of the weirdest questions in all of the Bible. Jesus just was taken up into the heaven. He was just taken from them. A cloud drew him away. This cloud might have kind of reckoned them back to Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. A cloud, this powerful moment of glory. It might have taken them back to when they know that there's going to be a second coming and there's going to be a cloud. They're looking into heaven and these two, maybe angels, say, why do you stare or stand gazing into heaven? I believe that there's such a move, there's such an emphasis put because all of a sudden Jesus, through his messengers, say, now it's time. It's not time to gaze. It's not time to look. It's not time to just be empowered. It's not time to just wait on a promise even that's coming. They're going to experience it. But it is time to go and to get to work. It's time to go to Jerusalem, wait on the promise, and then go and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that is what Acts is all about, getting up, being empowered, waiting on the Spirit so that I take a step away from just being in the Word to where the Word begins to live through me into my world, where I don't just get empowered by the Spirit, but I'm empowered by the Spirit. So when I have no clue what to do or no clue what to say, when I'm witnessing or sharing Jesus or living life with my neighbors or the people that are on that soccer team that my kids are a part of or that my grandkids are a part of, that I am empowered to begin to share the message of the gospel, to do it in a way that isn't overbearing, isn't wild, or it's not some huge thing, but it's just a part of my life where people all of a sudden begin to say, what's going on? What's God speaking? How's God moving? Because you've been empowered. We're not gazing at God and saying, wow, this is great, and I'm just going to stay here. I'm never going to leave. In fact, if you don't leave today, about 1 o'clock, we're going to turn the lights off. You're going to be in the dark because we don't need to stay here gazing at whatever, the darkness at that point. That doesn't make any sense, but to gaze at the Lord, to be filled and empowered with His Spirit is all so we can go and we can make disciples. We have to take a step from standing and looking into mission and action. And I believe, if you believe like me, that every moment of my life, there's something else God wants. There's something bigger God wants to do. There's something else that the Word of God needs to receive and I need to pull out so that I can be ready to go. And I would encourage every one of us, can we be a church that says, I'm not going to stand. I'm not just going to look at what's going on or the good things even, the great movement that God has, but I'm going to go into mission and action. Yesterday, we had some people who came, and we laid some sod. So if you care, you can go look over there in front of the new building. All of a sudden, it looks really nice. There's grass. So we had the Mowers had a graduation party here yesterday. They were there, I think, on Friday night, and then they came back on Saturday. And Ellie, their youngest daughter, says, this is different, right? There's grass now, and there wasn't grass before, right? We could do a whole lot of things. But if it's all about grass, and we're like, come look at my grass. Come look at this beautiful lawn. Come look at how in one moment it looks so much better. That does nothing, right? That doesn't do anything. But when we say God has prepared us, he lets us be in a place where we've got great stuff and great buildings and nice lights and sound, and we can worship God, and we can put it on Facebook Live, and people can join us. And we say, but that's all for the sake of going and sharing Jesus with someone that's a cubicle over from me. And I don't need lights. I don't need sound. I don't need nothing to share Jesus. I don't need anything in my life when I'm out there but God's empowerment in my spirit and a willingness to say, yes, I'm going to be on mission. I am going to take action. I'm not going to sit in my chair and just look at people and say, wow, they really need Jesus. Wow, if only they had Jesus, it would be a whole lot better. Or wow, their behavior doesn't line up with the Word of God. They don't need us to tell them that. What they need is people that love God, that are empowered by God, that are on mission, and now they're taking action and lifting them up. Helping people that you don't understand. How can you get in their life? How can you make a difference? How can you see when they maybe are in a emotional crisis and you can come alongside of them? And you don't have to agree with their lifestyle, what they're doing. You don't have to agree with how they raise their kids, whatever you want to throw in there. None of that matters. But to say, I want to be your friend. And you don't tell them, but you say, I am empowered. And to yourself, I'm empowered by God, and now it's my time to go and to make a difference to my world. That is what Acts is about, and I am excited what God's going to speak through Acts, because we're going to go through it week by week and over the next period of time and say, God, what is it you want to show me today? How can I be empowered in my leadership skills? How can I be empowered to see the dead raised and people healed and people set free? How can I be empowered to see people around me that they're addicted to drugs or to alcohol or to pornography or they're addicted to whatever it might be, the ways of the world? How is it that we can be empowered to bring Jesus, to bring hope to them, to bring life and watch God reveal himself to them as we are obedient and as we are willing to get up, to to stop just standing and gazing at the goodness of God, or stop gazing at the things that he's blessed us with, and instead move into mission and action. This morning, if the worship team, if you would make your way back to the stage, there's something that is so powerful about the Word of God. I mentioned at the beginning, and I encourage you, if you believe what I just said, if you believe that there's a power, if you believe there's a mission, if you believe we have to take a step of action, then will you commit, Lord, help me. I want to do my best to read the Word. 2 chapters of Acts a day. It won't take you that long. 10, maybe 15 minutes. If you're a slower reader, listen to it. That's fine. Whatever you want to do, get it in you, because it's powerful and it'll change your life. And this morning, before we take a few minutes, we've got 10 minutes till 12. If you're here today and you say, I love what you're talking about, but I've never stepped into the kingdom. I'm not in the family. This wasn't we would call it a churchy word, but a salvation message per se. But you say, I know enough to know that I need Jesus. He's knocked on my heart. Maybe during worship, talking about being a child of God, all of a sudden within you, you know that you're not there. You haven't received his salvation, his forgiveness. You haven't taken him up on his offer of what he did for you, dying on a cross. And if you'd say this morning, I want to be a part of that mission. I want to be a part of taking action, but I need to first jump into the kingdom, jump into the family. And right now, all over this room, if you just bow your heads, close your eyes, if you feel comfortable, it's not about not having someone see. But if you're here today and you'd say, I want to know Jesus, with no distraction, with no one looking around, you say, I want to know him and I want you to pray with me, then I'm going to ask you right now just to raise your hand all over this room. If you say, that's me, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus, or I've been far from him and this morning I want to come back. I'm just going to scan the room. Is there anybody here today that you'd say, that's me, I need a relationship with Jesus and I don't want to leave here without experiencing him? I'm going to scan back across. I don't want to miss anybody. Wonderful. Thank you. At any moment, we can come before God and we can let him speak into our lives. And this morning, right now, maybe you say, I'm just kind of living in his kingdom, but I'm not really living with the promise. And maybe it's the promise you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be praying about that in the next few weeks. And I encourage you to turn your heart, even this morning, to ask him, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. But maybe you have not even let him begin to help you walk, being led by him, with empower in any way in your life. And this morning, I think that's the first step, is to say, God, I want to step into the promise that you have. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to wait in Jerusalem. Maybe in your own life, in your own mind. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to let you speak to my heart. Lord, I'm willing to have you show me whatever it is that you would show me. I want to have empowered. I want to be empowered to live and take my life to the next level. Or maybe today you'd say, I've got the promise. I've got the power. But Lord, would you reveal that mission to me? Lord, I know as a church, as your church, the kingdom of God, that mission is about going and winning people for Jesus, being my witnesses, your witnesses. But Lord, would you help me? And maybe it's even on a more personal level in your own life. God, would you help me? Guide me into the mission that you have for me. Would you just begin to pray right where you are? Lord, help me to go from promise to saying, Lord, this is my mission. Or maybe to go from promise to say, this is how I, as an individual, am going to live out that mission that you've given me. I'm going to do it. Maybe there's some people that you've experienced the promise, you've experienced and you know the mission he has, but you're lacking in taking action, you're lacking in rising up and saying, God, today I'm going to move, today I'm going to open my mouth, today I'm going to speak your truth and your life to the people and to the world around me. And if you'd say, that's me, then I'm going to encourage you. Would you take a step from mission and say, God, I'm not going to stand, I'm not going to look any longer, not in any area of my life, but I'm going to take action. Today, I'm committing to taking a step. Maybe that's by the simple thing of getting into your word and reading a couple chapters of Acts every single day. Maybe it's in a lot of different ways. Would you let God speak to you this morning? The thing I love about God is that he doesn't make us do one of these every week or month or year. But this morning, you can warp speed from just coming to know him. You can jump right into the promise. You can get the mission, and you can leave this room today on point, on a guidance of the Holy Spirit, and ready to act about the things of who God is and what he wants to do. Today is the day for each and every one of us to be empowered for the mission so that we can go, we can act today. So all over the room, if you would stand. We're going to sing. We've got a few more minutes here, and we're going to sing one more song. But I encourage you to turn that in your own self, not just to words on a screen, but to prayer in your life, to prayer, to commitment. Maybe you need to come to an altar. Maybe you need to come to the stairs up here, or kneel at an altar, come stand in the front. Or maybe right where you are, you need to turn around, and you need to commit yourself to the action of who and what he has you to do. Whatever your response needs to be today, I encourage you, don't leave without saying, I'm on mission. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be empowered to go and win the lost for Jesus. We're in the middle of Ohio for Jesus, believing that God is going to turn Ohio upside down. And I pray that each one of us says, it's my part. What's my part to win Ohio for Jesus and my job and my home and the place that I am? So I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And then we're just going to let God 5 minutes to speak to our hearts. Commit so we can go and be people of action. So Lord, right now, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that you've spoken. We thank you that you are our good Father. And this morning, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to not stay where we were when we came this morning, to not have a great worship time and to get in the Word and not to change. But Lord, this morning, would you show us your Spirit? Would you empower us? Would you put us on mission? And would you help us take action to what it is that you have for us to do? That each person in this room, Lord, give us a love for your word, a love for the truth of your kingdom. Lord, a love for what you would say, not what our society would say, not what we can find on Facebook, not what we even feel ourselves, but Lord, to get into the word, your love letter to us. And Lord, even as those first few, or the first verse of Acts, it was written to Theophilus, God, would you help us to be a lover or a friend of yours, God? Lord, we want to experience all you have for us. We want to know you. We don't want to just be present, but God, we want to go after you with everything within us. Lord, so right now, help us, each of us, to step into the empowerment, promise the mission, and to take action, God, in you.